Welcome back to the Jim Bohannon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. As we're joined now by John Lott, he is with the Crime Prevention Research Center, that group's president. He's also an economist and author with a look at a new study out. John's strong suit, of course, is weapons in this country, Second Amendment rights, and so on. And there's something new you've come out with now, John, that has to do with concealed handgun permits surging among minorities and women. What exactly is it that you have going here?
Sure. Thanks. It's great to talk to you again, Jim. Yeah, we just came out with a study yesterday. We have one of these reports come out each year, and there's been a huge increase in the number of concealed handgun permits over the last year, where there's been like over 1.8 million new people with permits. The total number of people with permits now is over 16.3 million. And that's just to give people an idea how much that's increased over time. A decade ago, in 2007, there were 4.6 million permits. So it's kind of gone up almost four times in a decade. And but as you say, a lot of that growth in recent years in particular has been because of women and minorities. I have good data by gender and race over the last 4 years. And since 2012, while you've had permits for men go up by 22%, they've gone up by 93% since then for women. And blacks have seen their permits increase about 30 percentage points faster than it has for whites.
Why do you suppose this is?
Well, I think part of it is there's kind of changing views that people have on guns. You look at Gallup has a survey that asks people questions like, do you think having a gun in the home makes you safer or creates greater risks? And there's been really over the last decade or so a sea change in women and blacks' views on guns. For example, now a clear majority of women think that owning a gun in the home makes them safer as opposed to creating more risks. You have a similar change that's occurred for blacks. So I think that's part of it. And you know, I'd also like to believe to some extent that people have begun to realize who benefits the most from having concealed carry permits. My own research indicates that it's two groups. People are most likely to be victims of violent crime. That's overwhelmingly poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas are the most likely victims, as well as people who are relatively weaker physically, women and the elderly. And so I think it's important that we see this type of change, particularly to have those people who need protection the most obtaining it. Now, just to give you an idea, now we have about 36% of permit holders in the United States are women, and 11% are black.
1-866-50-JIMBO is our number, 1-866-505-4626. John Lott, our guest, and always great to have John on the program tonight to talk about a pervasive issue that never seems to completely go away, that of gun control. Of course, the people who quote, speak for African Americans or women, that is to say the self-appointed leadership in many cases, certainly would not be going down this path.
Right.
What does that tell you?
Well, I mean, I don't think any group is monolithic on this stuff. And, you know, we just had this women's march last weekend, and they had a couple hundred people show up, and obviously they took a very different view on this. But you know, you look at surveys, what you find is that about half of married women live in households that have guns. About 42% of all women live in households that have guns. And, you know, apparently they don't feel that strongly against them to make sure that guns are not in the home there. So it's and you look at, as I mentioned, surveys about women, whether they perceive guns as making them safer or not, you now have a majority. So that's not saying all women believe that, but that you have divergent opinions. And I think, you know, you look at blacks, whether it be guns or school choice or other things, it seems like there's a lot more divisions on central points than I think a lot of people would acknowledge.
Oh, that's unquestionably true. I've seen this a great deal over the years, going back 30-some years, actually. One year at a thing called Chicago Fest,
right,
which is just a big gathering of restaurants that all go out to Navy Pier in Chicago, and it's just a big pig out for the city of Chicago. Well, Jesse Jackson had a group of protesters out, and I was working at the time doing some TV news in addition to radio, so we interviewed Jesse Jackson, and we went inside, and we came across this guy, also African-American, running a rib joint.
Right.
And we approached him and said, well, you know, we just spoke with Jesse Jackson outside. Well, that was like tossing a match into a pit of gasoline.
Right.
He said, bring your camera crew in with me. And he brought us behind his counter, took the crew into the back. And there he said, what do you see? And I said, well, we see a kitchen. And he said, and? And I said, well, we see about, I guess, about a dozen young teenagers, mostly minority, who are working. He said, that's right. They're working. They're getting the work ethic. They're getting a paycheck. And you tell Reverend Jackson how racist that is. He was very upset with us. And so there are any number of people out there who I think sometimes feel that, that perhaps the media is prone to pick a spokesman for their group. More in a moment. Welcome back to the Jim Bohannon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO, our number 1-866-505-4626. We're talking with John Lott. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center. His website, crimeresearch.org, and we're looking at a new study that he has put out on the surge in concealed handgun permits, particularly among African Americans and women. As we go to a call here, let me ask you this. I noted that the headline that you put forward specifically mentions women and African Americans. I'm wondering about other minorities, most notably Hispanics. Is there a similar growth among their ranks for concealed handgun permits?
Well, the problem is most states don't break it out like that. You only have a few states that do, and there seems to be a very large increase. Asians also seem to have a very large percentage increase. I mean, Asians actually seem to have the largest percentage increase of any group. But you know, the problem with Hispanics is, for whatever reason, only a few states actually try to break that out. One thing I was hoping just to quickly mention is,
sure,
is the difference between the states that kind of let people make a decision whether they want to get a permit. You know, once you, so-called right to carry states, once you pass a criminal background check, have your training, pay your fee, you know, like Virginia, for example, versus states like New York or California or New Jersey, which you have to go and get approval from some local public official to say whether or not you have sufficient need. I was able to get a hold of a list of the permit holders in Los Angeles County. And not only do you see very few people getting permits, but what's striking is how overwhelmingly white male they are. While nationally you see about 36% of permit holders are females, in Los Angeles County, only 7% of permit holders are female. And while half the county there is Hispanic, only 6.5% of the permit holders are Hispanic, and only 5% of the permit holders are black. And so, you see this in other places too, when here you have heavily democratically controlled areas, and yet when you have essentially democratic public officials deciding who should go and get permits, they give it to wealthy, powerful people, not to people who are actually most likely to be in danger of having crime being committed against them.
And I wonder how many of those powerful people have bodyguards. Well, David in Creston, Iowa joins us to talk with John Lott of crimeresearch.org. Hello, David.
Hello, Jim. Hello, Mr. Lott. I have a little quick story, and then I've got a couple of questions right after it, and I'll try to make it quick so other people can get on. Number one, when about 4 years ago, I was dating my wife, and she was a sheriff's officer, and they had a serial killer called BTK back in Wichita, Kansas. Well, I was courting her, and every time I would go over, I was greeted with a 38 between my eyes at the door. And, of course, you know, it does get your attention. Right? She said she was she's a little embarrassed. And I think it's a great deterrent. You know, I think it was a good idea for a woman to have a pistol and a gun at that time. And the way the crime has risen around the United States, I don't blame women for wanting to protect themselves when they're alone in any circumstance. And that also goes for the men, too. And the other question I want to ask you is on the amount of permits, I think it deters and lets the criminals know that there's a possibility that if they try something, they're going to die. Because if somebody has a permit and a concealed weapon, and then the robber or the crime, the guy, doesn't know about it, why these people are ready to waste them right there and then there.
Yeah, interesting points, David. And John, your thoughts. One thing, of course, about concealed permits is it does not, by its very nature, advertise the fact that I'm armed and I'm prepared. So in terms of there's obviously the deterrent if you have to pull it out, and certainly if you have to use it.
Right.
But there is not the deterrent that would come from, let's say, carrying a weapon that is
open
to the public, and therefore you can see right off the bat, if you're a would-be criminal, what you're dealing with.
Right. No, I mean, I agree. Look, the point of concealed carry is that the criminal doesn't know until he actually attacks somebody whether or not that person's going to be able to go and defend themselves. And so in some sense, that provides protection for even people who would never even think of carrying a concealed handgun. If you have open carry, you know, there's some advantages, as you say, for letting the criminal know that that individual is going to be protected. But criminals can move on to somebody else. Or if you have these types of public shootings, I mean, one of the problems that police have makes their job incredibly difficult is if you have a terrorist attack at a place and you have a police officer that's there in uniform, who do you think the terrorists are going to attack first? They're going to attack the one guy that they know is armed, and they're going to kill the police officer first before they go after anybody else. And so if you're openly carrying, you know, these killers still have the strategic advantage in terms of determining who to go after first.
Yeah.
Now, with regard to the caller's questions that are there, just as first point, look, I mean, women, the evidence I think is overwhelming that women benefit much more than men do from having a gun. You're almost always talking about a male criminal doing the attacking. And when a male is attacking another male, there's a smaller strength differential that exists there on average than when a male is attacking a female. And so the presence of a gun represents a much bigger relative change for a woman's ability to go and defend herself than it does for a man.
Mm-hmm.
And,
all right. Yeah, go ahead.
And, you know, with regard to his question that he had there at the end about the number of concealed carry permits, I think what you find is that as the percentage of a population in an area has concealed carry permits, the greater the increase, the greater the drop that you see in violent crime in those areas.
Let's talk to Brian in Pittsburgh. Hello, Brian.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen.
Yes.
Well, my question is, when you go throughout the country, you had a lot of little liberal enclaves, smaller communities that might be controlled by liberals, and you have a hodgepodge throughout the country of different concealed carry laws, and if you have a concealed carry permit in one state, it's not necessarily good in another state. And I wanted to know what Mr. Lott's opinion was on the chance of getting national reciprocity passed with the current situation in Washington.
Well, thanks. I mean, that issue actually was kind of brought to the fore just a month ago when we had the shooting in Alexandria, Virginia. You had a number of congressmen and staff who were present at the baseball practice there who had concealed carry permits in their own state. And even though Virginia is very liberal in terms of recognizing basically permits from all the other states, none of them could legally have their guns there because they came from D.C. in the morning or they were going to be going back to the Capitol after the game, and so they couldn't carry their guns with them. A couple of the people that were there, one of the staffers that I talked to who had extensive training on active shooting situations, said that when he's at home, he always has his permanent concealed handgun with him, but he would have been breaking the law to go and carry it with him when he went to leave D.C. in the morning or to return afterwards after the practice. And, you know, what you're talking about would essentially allow concealed carry permits to be recognized like driver's licenses. If you have a driver's license in Miami, you can drive to California or Maine or any place else in between. But right now with concealed carry permits, if you're a truck driver or if you're a woman who's going to be going on a trip and you're going to be having to pass through New Jersey or Maryland or New York or California, you know, you're going to be running into problems. It's not just going through D.C.
More to come. Go ahead. Yeah.
Whether I think it'll get passed, it's going to be tough in the Senate because the Democrats are threatening to filibuster it, and they're going to need to get 8 Democrats to join the 52 Republicans to break the filibuster, and I don't know if they're going to make it. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. We'll have more to come back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Jim Bohannon Show. We're talking with John Lott. He's president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, their website, crimeresearch.org. And we're looking at the giant growth in the concealed handgun permits. How goes the efforts in state legislatures, or for that matter, I suppose, in the courtrooms as well? I gather that the trend is toward allowing concealed carry in this country, but you can give us a much more detailed update than that.
Right. Well, you essentially have two different groups of states. You have 42 so-called right-to-carry states, and they're moving towards more liberalization. You have 14 of those states where it's no longer even required to have a permit to carry in all or virtually all of those states. But even in the other ones, Texas, for example, just lowered its fee from $140 down to $40. Florida just reduced its fee to try to make it so that poorer individuals, people who I think are actually the ones who benefit the most, have a chance to be able to go and afford to get these permits to carry. But then you have the other 8 states, California, for example, New York, and you know, in California, it can cost up to $385 to get a permit in some counties. In some places in California, they require that you have to spend at least $1,000 to go and get training to get the requirements. And they're trying to make it more and more restrictive and more costly. So it's basically just wealthy individuals who can afford the process, even if they get approved, to be able to go and get a permit to be able to go and carry. So you have this kind of bifurcation in the states. But the vast majority, I mean, you can just see by looking at the number of concealed carry permits, has been an increase. If you take out California and New York, where only about, on average, 3 out of every 1,000 people have a permit, the rest of the country, about 8% of the adult population has a permit. So, you know, it's really, you can see how dramatically different the numbers are.
What about the rationale for getting a concealed carry? Do you have to demonstrate that you're in danger or you're a public figure or a controversial figure or anything like that? Are there special circumstances that are demanded by various regulatory bodies to give you such a concealed carry permit?
Right. That's a great question. Well, you have the two different types of states. In the 8 states, the so-called may-issue states, you have to demonstrate some type of need. In the other 42, you don't. If you live in a dangerous area and you think you have an important reason for getting a permit, you apply and it'll be granted. One of the things we have in this new study is to look to see how people are being granted permits in these 8 states. And the amazing thing to me is how many cases you have where people actually have received multiple death threats and the public officials will not grant the permits because they say, well, you know, we don't think these threats are sufficiently scary enough or sufficiently credible enough. You know, you have people like John Stossel in New York City, where he went in with literally dozens of death threats that he had received. He had done a couple programs about a year and a half ago that I guess had gotten a few people angry with animal rights and a few other things. And he went in, tried to get a concealed carry permit, and the police said, you know, this just doesn't rise to the level. It's in these places where you have to go and demonstrate need to some local public official, it's very subjective. You know, going and saying you live in a dangerous area is a complete non-starter. They won't even listen to it in those cases. And even explicit death threats may be something that's useful. But then it seems like whether or not you're a mover or a shaker, you know, it's like in New York City, the type of people who get concealed carry permits. Obviously, Donald Trump had a permit that was when he was there. But you had people like Howard Stern, Robert De Niro, heads of many of the labor unions in New York City have concealed carry permits, particularly all the large unions have concealed carry permits. Arthur Sulzberger, who's the publisher of the New York Times, has a concealed carry permit, which is kind of ironic given the New York Times editorials constantly on concealed carry. And, you know, so it's a lot of it just seems to be who you know and whether you're powerful. In Los Angeles County, it seemed to be people who were good friends or donors to the sheriff. In San Francisco, the one person that they gave a permit to over many years was the private lawyer for the sheriff.
More to come. We'll be back in a moment. Glad you're with us, John Lott, our guest tonight. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and his website, crimeresearch.org. We're looking at the jump in the number of people, particularly minorities and women, with concealed handgun permits. This is Sal, who calls in from New York City. Good evening, or New City, New York, pardon me to be precise. New City, New York. Hello, Sal.
Hello, how are you?
Thank you.
Fine, thank you. I love your show.
Thank you.
You do a great service. My question is, you know, as far as like your handgun rights, is it not like the Second Amendment to the Constitution where you have the right to bear arms? So if it's a constitutional right, shouldn't it be anywhere in the United States territory? I mean, the first treaty is that.
You were hopping in and out of there, but we got the gist of your call, Sal. Why are we talking about such nuanced issues when, by that interpretation, the Second Amendment gives a blanket right to carry, period?
Right. Well, I'm not really into talking about constitutional issues too much. I mean, I understand the logic. To me, it's an issue of safety. And, you know, I can tell you the objections that people are going to be raising there. But when you look at concealed carry permit holders, a couple things strike you when you look at it. And one is how incredibly law-abiding permit holders are. You see these people losing their permits for any type of firearms-related violations at thousands or tens of thousands of 1%. In fact, in our report, one of the things we do is we compare permit holders to police. Police are rarely convicted of crime, very rarely convicted of any type of firearms-related violations. And yet, permit holders are convicted of crimes at one-sixth the rate that police officers are, and they're convicted of firearms-related violations at less than a tenth the rate that police officers are. And, you know, those are the types of people who are going to, you know, point to a crime or two that permit holders have committed. But, you know, when you take into account the fact that there's 16 million plus permit holders that are there, the issue isn't just whether you can point to a few crimes. The question is, you know, what's the rate? And you find these people, it's hard to find, I would argue, almost any other group in the population that's as law-abiding. And it's one of the reasons why I think police, when you look at surveys of police, they, you know, 90-some percent of police in different surveys support civilians being able to go and carry concealed handguns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, something I wanted to ask you about to kind of wrap things up here tonight. There was, of course, a surge in gun sales at the election of 2016 approach.
Right.
A lot of people thinking that Hillary Clinton was going to come in and steal all our guns or whatever. Anyway, of course, Donald Trump won the election, and yet there has been a continued surge in gun sales, as I understand it. Why do you think that is, given the immediate urgency in the minds of many people was no longer there?
Right. No, I mean, that's been an interesting question. I've kind of documented that myself. There's been a little bit of a drop off in terms of gun sales, but it's still higher compared to almost any other year except for last year. I mean, November set record, all-time records. This past May set all-time records for background checks. The other months in between were kind of slightly below the pace of last year, but ahead of what it was in previous years. So, you know, I think that there's a change, a fundamental change that's occurring in people's views on guns in terms of recognizing the benefits that they have. I think you're getting a much broader and broader group of people that are buying guns. And I think, you know, one of the problems...
Well, we don't have time to get into that. One of the problems, unfortunately, okay. Let's stay on the line. We'll speak off air. John Lott, again, he is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, their website, crimeresearch.org. And we'll continue on the Bohannon Show here at Westwood One.